relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, I answer your questions. So if there's anything you want to talk out with me, or you have a burning question or a question about burning, you can call me or text me, 514-800 or 514-790-0800. We're also continuing to give away tickets to our Passion's 18-year anniversary party on Friday, August 18th. We'll be broadcasting live from Station 16 Gallery, who is hosting this event. It's a whole big to-do that they're putting on for us, which will be fun. It's a red carpet and all of that. It's a very special night, and it's extra special for me because, well, aside from celebrating 18 years on the air, I will be showing my artwork for the very first time, my sculptures and my paintings for the very, very first time to the public. So this is something completely new for me. It's a vernissage called Dr. Lori Battito Exposed. We're donating proceeds, so I'll be selling some of the stuff, and we are donating the proceeds to sexual health education. We're going to have a raffle and some great prizes, and we want you to join us. There's going to be lots of regulars, Passion regulars that will be there. There'll be some CJED personalities as well, and lots and lots of fun food provided by Bueno Note, and there's going to be special cake and wine and all of that jazz. So if you want the opportunity to join us and win an art print signed, you'll get that as well. We pick one winner every night until the event, August 18th. So all you have to do is send in by text or by email. Just share your favorite either passion moment, episode, lesson, guest, something that you took away from the show. It could be any time in the last 18 years. That's fine. Just include your name if you're writing on the text. And at the end of the show, we'll randomly pick one person who will win a pair of tickets. So we'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts. Even how Passion, the show, or certain topics or certain things might have impacted you. So would love to hear from you. 514-800 to text in. If you want to call in, don't use the call-in number to text. I know it feels weird to do six numbers for a text, but that's the way it works here. 514-790-0800 if you would like to call in, either with a question or a comment, or you, even if you want to add to an answer, or you think that I haven't answered something completely, or I missed something, call me out on it. I'm always happy to, to respond and correct if need be, or add. All right, so here's the first question. I'm a 15-year-old guy. My sex life is quite similar to any 15-plus teen guy. And obviously, I watch porn sometimes. It's natural anyway. So my question to you is, am I harming my health or my life if I'm masturbating 2 times a week? I'm really very worried about my health and life, so can you please help me with this? And in general, does masturbation affect our health a lot? So these kinds of questions, certainly about frequency of masturbation, tells me that is one topic that is never or rarely covered in any sex education program that people get. Whatever limited information they get, for some reason, self-pleasure, anything to do with pleasure, is hardly ever covered. And that's a mistake, because as a teenager, of course, well, what do you think of? You think of pleasure, you discover masturbation, and it is a perfectly normal, healthy sexual activity. Even though, I have to say, some religions will certainly tell you otherwise. But from my perspective, it is a perfectly normal, healthy sexual activity. The majority of teens, the majority of adults, masturbate. Some people do it a whole lot, and then you have others, not so much. So there's no real number that is a cutoff point between what's healthy and unhealthy. Obviously, if you are spending your days thinking about masturbating or doing it all day and it interferes with your regular life, meaning whether your social life, your school life, your dating life, work, whatever it is, if you're an adult, then it really is a problem and it's not healthy for you. But there's no real downside to it unless it's done in a compulsive manner. Certainly at twice a week is perfectly well in the normal range. Even daily is in the normal range. But there are many health benefits to masturbation if you look at the science behind it, including protecting men from prostate cancer later on. So actually, if you go to Planned Parenthood, PlannedParenthood.org, it's a great organization worldwide, and they produced a fun video about this topic, and it's really fun. So if you just look up PlannedParenthood.org and just do masturbation, like type in the search, you'll see a very cute video about that. So yes, it's perfectly normal, and unless you're hurting yourself physically from too much masturbation, then that's the only problem you're really going to encounter. So there's no lifelong permanent damage that anybody can do to themselves through self-pleasure or masturbation. This is an interesting question. I'm a 300-pound, 6-foot, 27-year-old male with issues staying hard. What can I do to fix this? There has been a link between being overweight and erectile dysfunction. It can certainly contribute. Like any time there's erectile dysfunction, and especially in a young age, and it's a physical thing, not a psychological thing, it really should be checked out by a physician. Very, very important. But I know that I've seen studies that have looked at people who were deemed obese, who then went down in their BMI and had erectile functioning restored. So, like, they did look at that link. So, for sure, improving your lifestyle overall, improving your lifestyle, eating healthy, going to the gym, exercise, all of that, which, you know, everybody's going to tell you the same thing because it's the same thing for everything, is important. But you really should have a medical checkup just to make sure you don't have any underlying medical issue. And then discuss the treatment options with your physician, which might be a Viagra or that sort of medication for you. But you know what? Before giving any medication, it's really important to look at the root cause of something. I really believe that. So you need like a thorough evaluation. This texter at 514-800 writes, that's a really good point about masturbation not being covered by sex ed programs. It's not something we think about all that often. I bring that up because I have to tell you, I'm on multiple forums where I answer questions about sex for people, and this issue of frequent masturbation comes up so often. It's one and premature ejaculation are the two that come up the most frequently that I've seen. So, and especially from young people. Young people write to me all the time asking me what's too much, or they have fears, like true, real fears and anxieties about their masturbation activity, because they're horny teenagers and they feel the need to relieve themselves and they want the pleasure. And, you know, why shouldn't we do things that are pleasurable as long as we're not harming anybody else? But they are so concerned about this. And I truly believe that this is because we don't talk about this. We just don't talk about this. A lot of people go away thinking, I'm not normal. There's something wrong with me. I'm hurting myself. Oh, my goodness. And then the shame and the guilt and all those feelings that are associated with it continue to be associated with sexuality. And how the hell are we supposed to develop healthy sexuality when we have all of those feelings attached to it going through our minds? It's really difficult, really difficult. I will continue to take your questions here tonight at 514-800 on CJD.
need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Trouble Tuesday is the night I answer your questions. After 10:30, by the way, we're going to be giving away a one-month unlimited pass to Moksha Yoga, which is hot yoga. And we got a really nice text yesterday talking about from a person who won that once and said it changed her life learning and being part of the yoga community. So we're happy to give that away. So thank you to Moksha Yoga West Island for giving that to us. And I believe it's good at any of the Moksha Yoga studios. So the way to win this is after 10:30, I'm going to give you a sex trivia question. And the first caller through with the right answer will win that prize. But I am giving away as well a pair of tickets to our Friday, August 18th celebration. It's a big party that we're having at Station 16 Gallery. It's Passion's 18th year anniversary. So we've been on the air for 18 years now, and we are celebrating and celebrating big. Buenanotte is involved. Station 16 Gallery is there. If you want to be a guest, a VIP guest, you can do that. All you have to do is send in a text or send me an email telling me about something that you like about Passion, a favorite episode, a lesson learned, or some impact that it may have had on you or on someone you know, and just share that with us. And at the end of the night, I will randomly draw one person who will get a pair of tickets. So I would love to hear from you. 514-800 to text in. Plus, I'm answering your questions tonight, by the way. And 514-790-0800. This texter asks, Dr. Lori, doctors say that lack of ejaculation does not cause prostate cancer. What research backs up what you said earlier that masturbation and ejaculation protects you from prostate cancer? So I talked about it a couple of nights ago, I believe. The couple of research papers have said, one did not specify age, one did. It said it was frequent ejaculations in one's 20s was a protective factor. I don't think one has anything to do with the other one. In other words, it can protect you. It doesn't need to cause it. So if you don't ejaculate, it doesn't cause it. But if you do ejaculate, there's a protective factor to it. So there is research to back it up. Right off the top of my head, to give you who authored that research, I cannot tell you. I can certainly look it up. If you email me and you want me to give you those, I can give it to you. Otherwise, you can go to Google Scholar, and on Google Scholar, if you put in prostate cancer research masturbation or something like that, you will find the research that that says just that. Another texter writes, I've been listening to your show for many years. I learned many things. I sure would love to come to your event with one of my girlfriends. I love Trouble Tuesdays. So much to learn at my young age. I wish myself good luck, hoping to hear if I win. Thank you for that, Christiane. Appreciate that. Okay, question. Male 28. I'm getting hard, but just medium hard, not completely hard. Just at some point I'm getting completely hard, then losing it back to medium. Is there anything wrong with me? Well, I need context for this. When does this happen? Does this happen only when you're with a partner? Does this happen when you're also masturbating? Do you find a difference? So that to me tells me a whole lot more. It's very hard to take this out of context. I'm not sure. So write back to me and tell me, when does this happen? Is it across the board? In other words, with masturbation, with any kind of stimulation, with partner, without partner? I want to know about that, because it could very well be that there's something you know, in your brain going on, some form of anxiety about something. So texting back only with a partner. Okay, so that tells me something right there. So when a young man, and this is a young man, tells me that he has trouble maintaining his erection but only with a partner and not with masturbation, there's nothing wrong physically with you. But what could be happening is what we call performance anxiety. So something in your brain, something in your head, something that you're feeling, some fear, some anxiety about being with a partner or having intercourse, or maybe it's just happening with intercourse. It's possible that sometimes people who are frequent masturbators get very much used to one form of stimulation so that when their partner is touching them or when their partner is stimulating them in one way or the other, even through intercourse, it's not the same. And because it's not the same, only you know exactly how you need to be touched. Plus, you get used to a certain kind of stimulation that brings you to where you want to go more quickly. So it's possible that you're not getting that same kind of stimulation to maintain your erectile function and to keep it hard. At least you get to a point where it goes back to, you know, becoming erect and a strong erection. So I would want to kind of do a little bit of an evaluation on that to find out what's happening. Has this happened in every relationship you're with? Is it just this relationship? Is this a new relationship? Is this a relationship where it was fine for the first year and then it became this way? So again, there's a lot of questions for me to try to get to the root cause of it, which is what I do. That's my job, right? That's why I mean, this is what I do in my therapy practice, is evaluate sexual dysfunction to find out what is actually going on. And once I know, then it's a lot easier to find treatment. Okay, I'm married for over 20 years, have not had sex with my wife in over 6 years, seeing a psychologist for over 3 years, have not seen any desire from my wife, starting to think about going somewhere else for fulfillment. Any tips to turn things around with my wife? Well, are you in couples counseling with your wife? Are you seeing a psychologist yourself, or are you there with your wife? So I would think going to a counselor where this is an issue that is well discussed, so somebody who's comfortable talking about sexuality and your sexuality, would be where I would turn to. And also I would, again, you know, we have to look at the context of a lot of stuff, right? What's going on with your wife? So clearly you have the desire. She doesn't have the desire. Why doesn't she have the desire? Does she have an interest in sex? Is she resentful of stuff? Are there other things going on in this marriage that we should look at? Are there trust issues? There's context really, really matters. So looking and delving in deeper into what's happening. And in a situation like that, I would see your wife separately. I would see you separately, and I would see you together to figure out what is going on and then move forward from that. But of course there's ways to turn things around, but you have to find out first what's going on. If everything is perfect, your relationship is great on all fronts, except that she doesn't have the desire, then we look at what's going on with her hormonally, medically. We look at arousal, like if stimulated, does your wife feel that she can get aroused, or does she feel absolutely nothing? Because there's a difference between desire and arousal. And does she understand how her desire might work? Do you understand how it might work? In other words, she may have lost her spontaneous desire for sex, so maybe, true, she doesn't get horny anymore, but it doesn't mean she can't be responsive to sexual stimulation. But you know, you need to have the get up and go, and you need to make the conscious decision to do that. And knowing that this is having a great impact on your relationship, I would hope that she'd be willing to go for some help together to kind of figure this out. Going elsewhere for your fulfillment is, you're going to be unfaithful at this point. And if you want to destroy your marriage, then go ahead and do that, because it will be destructive to your marriage. Not saying this isn't this situation, but at least try to fix this before turning elsewhere, or have a discussion with your wife and change the terms of the agreement that you both have. Maybe she'd be okay with you going elsewhere, but then it wouldn't be cheating, would it, if you have a discussion about opening up the relationship to others? Then that's not going behind her back. That's not being secretive. That's not betraying her confidence or betraying her. It would be sanctioned non-monogamy, basically. So I think it's something that is worth looking into. But certainly you guys need a complete discussion about this. So let me see if it's, so the texter writes, with intercourse, I'm not getting fully erect. Just with touching, I'm getting fully erect. It was always like this. Okay, so what that means and what that tells me is that intercourse is not offering you the same level of stimulation than touch. You probably need continuous, tighter around the penis stimulation. Ask your partner to practice Kegel exercises. In other words, tightening her vagina around your penis. So, and see if that provides a little more stimulation. Maybe a lot of the lubrication doesn't, because of, you know, vagina lubricates when aroused, it may not offer the same tightness. When you're using a hand, you don't have that kind, that lubricating quality to it. So it doesn't feel as, let's say, the word loose, if you will. So that's one thing that you can certainly try. 514-800, if you want to text in a question for me, or 514-790-0800. Coming up, I'll give you a sex trivia question that you can answer and win a one-month unlimited pass to Moksha Yoga Studios. That's hot yoga. Plus, I'll continue to take your texts to win a pair of tickets to our Passion 18-year anniversary party taking place on Friday, August 18th. Be part of the live broadcast and a big red carpet event, VIP event. We'd love to invite you, so we can only pick one winner every night until that night. So we'd love to hear from you tonight. 514-800. I'm Dr. Lori, and you're listening to Passion.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Trouble Tuesdays tonight, I answer your questions about love, sex, and relationships. So now I promised you I would give you a sex trivia question. First caller through at 514-790-0800. Brian is standing by to take your calls. We'll get this, who gets it right, we'll get the prize. You'll get a one-month unlimited pass to Moksha Yoga. The value of that, I believe, is around $150. It's a fantastic place. If you never tried hot yoga, it's a lot of fun. So here it is. What percentage of women can orgasm through intercourse alone? What percentage of women can orgasm through intercourse alone? The other thing we're doing tonight is giving away a pair of tickets to our event. So all we ask is for you to send in, text in a favorite passion episode, moment, lesson, guest, something. And at the end of the show, we'll pick one randomly. So here a texter writes, my favorite is Vagina Dialogues with Dr. Cleave. His recommendation of gynotroph was a miracle cure. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's from Karen. Yes, sometimes you'll get tips like that that can change your life. So thank you, Dr. Cleave, and thank you, Karen, for sending that in. Dr. Lori, I Googled it, and it says you can't get a woman pregnant with pre-cum. And you know, Google isn't always your best bet, by the way. And yes, you can, except that it's rare, but it happens. And the reason it happens is pre-cum you don't feel. And pre-cum is like the male's natural lubricant. It goes through. What ends up happening is if you've had an ejaculation, let's say you had an ejaculation or sometime in the afternoon, and then you go to have sex later in the evening, and you haven't had too many urinations in between, well, some of the sperm will stay in the urethra, and it's the urine that keeps flushing it out. So some of it can stay there, and with the pre-cum, with that natural lubricant, it can take some of that sperm with it. And so, yes, there may be some live sperm there. So it is not true. There have been plenty of people who have gotten pregnant from the withdrawal method. And the withdrawal method, you ejaculate outside of the vagina, but they didn't feel the pre-cum. So, and that's how they got pregnant. So it is not true that you cannot get a woman pregnant with pre-cum. It is absolutely, and especially when you're younger and you're having frequent ejaculations, then it's probably even more common. A 33-year-old guy, when I was really little, I was taught that my sexuality was dirty and abusive. Now I can't get close to anyone. What strategies can I use to get over this negative messaging? You know, when you get early on negative messages, it really screws with your head a lot when it comes to developing healthy sexuality. And it's like a blueprint in your head. So it's often quite difficult to shake this negative messaging, but this is what therapy could be helpful for. It's not just strategies, but talking this out with a therapist, talking about your sexuality, the messages, talking about changing the tape in your head, if you want to look at it simply, because they get reinforced, these messages, by the things we say to ourselves. We are constant chatterboxes in our own brains. And when we stop to think about what is going on in there, that's when you become conscious of it, that's when you can start changing it. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like here's a pill, it's over, or here's one thing, it's done. It's a process. And it takes practice to change that kind of thinking. So a therapist can help you do this quicker because they can pick up on all those negative messaging and can start looking at what's going on in your head and then be able to give you some. So look for someone who does something like a cognitive behavioral therapy. That would be probably be one of the best approaches to dealing with this. So going back to the guy who says that he often loses his erection with intercourse, he says, "You're right. I was always complaining she is too wet and too loose, but I'm able to ejaculate like this, but the orgasm and climax isn't the maximum." And adds, "Well, my anxiety while intercourse is to not ejaculate right away and to last longer." Well, the more anxious you are about lasting longer and the quicker you will lose your erection. It goes together. Unfortunately, when you're anxious about it, you become a spectator of your own actions. And when you're a spectator, you're no longer in your body, but you're in your head. And then the sensations kind of can come and go, and it can create this problem. So that's one of the things to be able to work on. So you're not going to have necessarily the same type of orgasm all the time. It's true, you might have better orgasms through, say, oral sex or masturbation or whatever. It all depends. Everybody's different in terms of the kinds of stimulation that they like. Another text writes, "After going to pee, I always have a couple of drops left, and it comes out either when I get up or zip up and get going. What could be the reason?" And I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't really venture a guess on that one. I think it's something, you know, there's a lot of factors here too. How old are you? That has something to do with it. What's your, you'd have to have that checked out by a doctor to see if there's why there's bladder leakage or urinary incontinence or something like that. So that's something that you should really check with your doctor. "I'm 40 and I want to get a circumcision due to a tight foreskin, but I'm scared of the risks and that sex and masturbation will not be as pleasurable. Is there a major difference? The studies have been done on this and they do not show that there is a major difference in sensation. Obviously, at first it's going to maybe feel a whole lot more sensitive, but my guess is if you need a circumcision because your foreskin is too tight, that is causing you pain. So there's risks with any surgery, obviously, but you need to talk to the urologist who's going to perform that circumcision to talk to you about that. But it's a quick procedure. It's a relatively quick recovery. Obviously, it's more painful the older you are because you've developed more nerve endings in your foreskin. So whereas a baby has less nerve endings in the foreskin, apparently, that's what I had read. I don't think the risks are great, but you have to weigh your options here. A too tight foreskin causes pain, so that takes away pleasure. And you I can tell you that the studies do not show a major difference between circumcised and uncircumcised, and there have been studies done on men who were circumcised at a later age, and also the differences were negligible. Now, you're going to hear from different people, anecdotal evidence, people who will say yes and be others who will say no and whatever. So you may want to look up the studies. I can't direct you exactly to the studies that are there, but I know that they are definitely out there. Hi, Dr. Lori. I find myself only having flings with married women since I have been single as of 2004, when I went through a horrible breakup. I would like to know if that is fueling my passion and desire. I'm currently having sex with 5 different married women, and I rotate them weekly, biweekly, and monthly. The sex is passionate, intense, and I have no strings attached. Just real hard banging away sex. You would be surprised at how many married women are cheating just for this type of thrill. Please advise. What do you want advice on? What this tells me, that you only have flings with married women, is that you are very scared of committing, and married women are unavailable women. I mean, they're cheating women, granted, but they are unavailable. You're not worried that they are going to get too attached to you because they already have a husband. So, plus you're doing something naughty, which is fueling your passion and your desire, because when you do something that is risky, for some people who are risk takers, this can fuel excitement and all of that, right? That which is forbidden is exciting. That just seems to be a rule of thumb, but doesn't mean it's right. So, yeah, sure, the sex is passionate, intense, but you're not getting any intimacy, you're not getting any closeness, which is probably unconsciously what you're staying away from because you had that horrible breakup and because you have this now fear of vulnerability, fear of getting hurt, and that's creating all of that. So there's no like advice except go figure this out and maybe talk to somebody, a professional, about this, but that to me sounds exactly like what's going on. Correct me if I'm wrong, 514-800, and coming up, we'll give you our winner for our sex trivia question. Hopefully, we already have a winner, and if not, well, I'll keep answering your questions here tonight on Passion.
Stimulating Radio, Passion with Dr. Lori.
Congratulations to Ashley, who is our winner for our monthly 1 month unlimited pass to Moksha Yoga. Here was the question and the answer. What percentage of women can orgasm through intercourse alone? The answer was 25%. It's certainly something I've talked about how many times on air? So many times. So let me get back to your text. How do I get over bitterness that stems from a nasty breakup? Well, you know, ask yourself the question, do you want to hang on to bitterness? What does that serve you, that bitterness? If you find that, you know, after a period of months that you're not getting past all of that, it might be time to talk to somebody. I know this has been my answer for a lot of things today, but really, I mean, this is what I do, my job, so I know I help people with these issues, which, of course, is a process. It's not a here, do this one thing and you'll be fine. But you have to think about yourself and you have to think about what that bitterness is serving you. When you're bitter, it takes away all your happiness. And frankly, happiness is also a choice that you make. You can hang on to that bitterness and not live your life and not choose to be happy, or stay with it and be miserable. And who wants to be around misery? So there's a lot of things that you can do to get past a breakup, like reminding yourself why you're not together, reminding yourself why this wasn't the relationship for you, and moving forward, distracting yourself, starting to date again, and letting that go, like practice letting go. A lot of us just hang on to crap when life is so short for that it's so hurtful to us, not to the other person, but to us, right? You know, when I remember one person, I don't remember who said it, but talked about forgiveness. And forgiveness is the gift you give to yourself. It's not about somebody else, but it is for yourself. Because when you forgive, you let go. And that letting go is for you. The other person doesn't care if you're bitter or how you feel. They really don't. So think about you and what you need, all right? So what can I do for my anxiety? Once I do intercourse, I feel I'm going to ejaculate right away. I try to hold back and to go in completely and then release it. That sometimes I'm going in and out 2 to 3 times max and I'm done. So my question would be, how often does this happen? Is this every once in a while? Is it when you haven't had sex in a long time? Because that's perfectly normal. If you haven't had sex in a long time, that you will ejaculate quickly once you do. But for if this is a regular occurrence for you, only with 2 and 3 thrusts, that would be considered premature ejaculation. And it's something that should be evaluated in terms of what can be done. So there are exercises you can try. Don't distract yourself. That's not a good option. Often men think that if I think about baseball or something else, then that will be helpful. But actually, it's the other way around. It is more hurtful to you because you need to focus on sensation in order to be able to stop yourself when you get really close. So you have to kind of practice stopping and starting, stopping and starting. So you need a partner who's willing to help you with that. So that's one option that you can do. If all of those exercises fail for you, then you can get medication. You'd have to speak to your doctor about it. He or she is the only one who can prescribe this. But right now, there's no one medication for premature ejaculation, but they do give low doses of an antidepressant, which induces a side effect, and that side effect is to delay ejaculation. So that's something that you can try. You can also try a numbing spray. Prometient is one that I know of, but it's just basically a numbing, like you know when you have a sore throat and you put this numbing stuff at the back of your throat. Well, this is the same type of thing, but for your penis. So there you go. Let's see. Hello, I texted you about a month ago. 27-year-old woman married since 19 with no sex life for years. At 27, wow. Despite a good and happy marriage otherwise, I took your advice and let myself feel pleasure. All I can say is thank you. I feel like we are back to a newly married couple in the bedroom. Lots of love. You don't know how happy that makes me, that simple talking on the air can change the way somebody sees sexuality. And the fact that you're telling me this, I got shivers. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. So important. Often I sit behind the mic and I don't know the impact, you know, I don't know how it might change somebody or how they behave in the bedroom or anything like that. So it really warms my heart when I hear comments like that. So thank you very much. Rob writes, I've been listening to your show for about a year now. My feeling is that you've always been professional, formative, and most importantly, understanding and kind towards your listeners. Congrats to you and your team for 18 years on the air. Wishing you 18 more. Oh, I'll be really old by then, but okay. Then I'll be like Dr. Ruth old, which will be fun. Thank you for that, Rob. Appreciate it. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, maybe you can share your contact info to get an appointment with you. You're right. I hardly ever share my contact information. I don't know why people call me and say, are you taking new clients? They assume I'm not, but I am. I am now. So if you are interested in making an appointment with me, you can either email me, laurie@drlaurie.com. My name is spelled L-A-U-R-I-E. So laurie@drlaurie.com, or you can always call me at 514-984-5910. 984-5910. And you can also connect with me either on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Laurie Battito. Go to my public page on Facebook, click like, and then you'll get wind of every time we go live on Facebook, and I post all kinds of things, all the studies that I talk about and what have you, I post them up there, and You'll find out what's coming up on different shows and the guests we have, et cetera, et cetera. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and I want to congratulate, and my eyes are closed, and here we go, Rob. Rob, congratulations. You are coming to our event on Friday, August 18th, and we'll be giving away another pair of tickets tomorrow evening, every night until August 18th, and it'll be a fun night, so you come celebrate with us. If not, you can celebrate by listening. We'll be on the air live from Station 16 Gallery, so looking forward to that. We'll talk again tomorrow evening. Tomorrow night, we've got the Millennial panel joining us, so they're always a fun bunch of people, young people, so that'll be fun. Right now, you've got your comedy show with your host, Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to fill your life with passion.